You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week I will bring you guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. I will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and many ways to keep your family mentally, physically, and spiritually sound. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. And I'll continue to bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, our guests today are Mike Haar and Dr. John Townsend. Mike has worked on the campus of Compass Rose Academy since 2004. He is a credentialed clinician working with sexually abusive youth and has participated in extensive training related to the care and positive outcomes for troubled teens. Mike has a master's degree in counseling from Grace College and has pursued continuing education related to suicide prevention, brain-based wellness approaches, and working with adolescent girls in residential treatment. Dr. John Townsend is a nationally known organizational consultant, clinical psychologist, and author of 26 books on relationships, growth, and parenting. Now, as a national leader in counseling and therapeutic care best practices, John guest blogs on topics ranging from parenting issues to spirituality at www.CompassRoseAcademy.org and also lends his expertise to Compass Rose through consulting, conferences, and strategic support. John's book sales top 5 million, which includes Boundaries, Who's Pushing Your Buttons, and It's Not My Fault, and most recently, Beyond Boundaries, Learning to Trust Again in Relationships. Townsend's award-winning titles have earned 3 Christian Book Awards and a Retailer's Choice Award. He is a sought-after conference speaker whose engaging, insightful, and humorous style has placed him in demand on 6 continents. Dr. Townsend has been interviewed on national television and many talk radio shows, as well as co-hosting the nationally syndicated talk show New Life Live, which is heard in 180 U.S. markets with 3 million listeners. He has also been featured in national magazines, including Cosmopolitan and Personal Excellence. Gentlemen, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, gentlemen, it's great to have you. One of the things that I did prior is, you know, I went to the website and I've talked with some of the ed consultants that I know have placed kids, you know, within the program at Compass Rose Academy. And I want to tell the listeners that are out there listening, not those of you that are driving, but that you're listening and you're listening through your computer or you're in a position to where you can bring up another site. Go ahead at this time and go to Compass Rose Academy. .org. Now, if you go to that now, you'll look, and while we're talking, you'll be able to take in some of the pictures about what it is we're talking about. And I have found that it really seems to help when, you know, you can get as many of your senses as possible learning about what it is we're talking about. So not only will we be answering questions and you'll be getting it from an auditory standpoint, but visually, you'll see quite a bit about what we're talking about. So, I think just to start it off, and I know that we do have some questions that have come in from listeners, both through instant messaging and email. So I know that there are parents out there that are very interested in the program. So I think to start off with, if you guys could share, I mean, what types of students, you know, are enrolled in your particular program?
Yeah, this is Mike.
Okay.
And we have adolescent girls ages 14 to 18, and they just experience acting out in a variety of ways, anything from school problems to self-harm, suicidal thoughts, authority problems, and things like that, with often histories of anything from adoption to traumatic experiences in their childhood to depression, body image issues, and things like that.
Okay. Now, and I probably to stay with Mike, I mean, how long do most students stay at the residential treatment center?
It's typically about a 9 to 12-month program. It can be a little less or a little more depending on each individual circumstance.
Okay. And then just share a little bit about the overall philosophy of Comforts Rose Academy.
Sure. The overall philosophy, and this goes back a lot to Dr. Townsend's work, and so I'd love to have him expound on this at some point, but we really operate in the growth model that he and Dr. Cloud have developed, and the idea is to go beyond just the symptoms of depression or oppositional defiance, anxiety, and things like that, and to really look in depth at the character structure. And so we look at things like bonding and boundaries and separation and integration and these things where character structure we look at is defined as the abilities that we have to meet the demands of life. And so we're talking about the internal character structure that you have to be able to meet the demands of life, and not just looking at depression and treating that with medication management or new thoughts or something like that, but to really go below the surface and work internally at what is needed to meet the demands of life. And so everything that we do, from our counseling to our overall milieu and program, is really aimed at internalizing those character structures needed to meet the demands of life.
And Dr. Townsend, what would you add to that?
Well, I think Mike said it really well, Alan. The way to understand it is teens they're in a kind of a developmental crossroads. Life is hard for a teen. And if you've got teens, I know they're making you crazy. I mean, I raised teens, my wife and I did, but we make them crazy too. And their entire emotional and even their neurological structures are really in flux. And so they're working out issues of who am I, what's my identity, do I fit, do I belong, am I smart, can I make friends, will I be successful? And yet they're working off these big issues about, you know, I'll be launching into life pretty soon, but they don't have the wherewithal inside to pull it life off. That's why when Mike said that the Compass Rose goes below the surface, the way to look at it is as all that wet cement is playing inside a kid, they may not be able to know that whether they're loved or not, or they may not know they can make choices or what ethics is. And so it comes out when they don't have those skills. It comes out as depression, or it comes out as an eating disorder, or it comes out as oppositional behavior or defiance or self-mutilation. And so when sometimes counselors will go after that, like, well, let me help you not be depressed and think better thoughts, or let me help you not to cut yourself because, you know, that will hurt you. Those things are really logical, but the kids don't have a problem in logic. They have a problem that they're not finished inside. So I think what Compass Rose does as well or better than anybody else is that first it makes sure the symptoms taken care of. You don't want a kid in danger. If the kid needs medication, they get medication. If they need support, they get support. But also it goes underneath and says, what's really driving that? Is it isolation? I don't belong. I'm not a good person. I'm not lovable. I don't have any power. I'm stupid. And works on the internal parts. And what we found is that if you work on both making sure they're safe with the symptom and the underlying causes, the child gets better and then moves on into young adulthood and then can, you know, in time can have a job and families of their own and that sort of thing. So it's a way to kind of push them into adulthood with what they don't have yet.
Now, Dr. Townsend, you've described some of the underlying issues, and those are some of the things that while they're at the program, your staff is going to be able to see. But what would some of the things be that the parents are seeing that sort of are the type of traits to where, you know, you would look at it and say, you know, that girl would actually be a really good candidate for Compass Rose?
Well, basically, since everybody knows adolescents struggle in some ways, forms and fashions, you got to take into account that adolescents are going to be defiant to some level, and you know, they're going to talk back, and they're going to need curfews and timeouts and all that sort of thing. That's sort of normal. But when your present structures with you as parents, you know, mom and dad, or mom or dad, or single or you know, married parent, when your present structures of love and discipline and having house rules, when those are breaking down and your teen is not responding, that's basically a cry for help. If the teen is saying, my problems inside are too big for mom and dad's expertise and time and energy to handle, which means you need to go to another structure. And so when what you're dealing with, whether it's a depression or alcohol or drugs or self-esteem, or they can't handle school very well, or friendships, if it's not getting better and you've done everything you can do as a parent, then it's time to consider a place like Compass Roads, because then the child has a 24/7 environment that is dedicated and professionally trained to do nothing else but give that teen interventions, people, support, teachings, experiences, all sorts of things that for the whole time they're there is focused on them getting strength and getting well.
I like that. Now, Mike, I know that that you have an educational component there as well, and I think a lot of parents, at least the ones I've spoken with, have said that's where they start to see some of the issues. But also, that's also part of their concern, is they say, if my child goes away, are they still going to get the type of education that they were hoping their child could get? So if you could share a little bit about the kind of education that a child in the program receives once they're, you know, once they're enrolled.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're really blessed with our setup. I believe we have kind of the best of both worlds. We have a public school on our own grounds, but just for our kids. And so we have access to everything that public schools have, from you know, individualized education planning for special education and speech therapy and all those things that you need, and a core curriculum and all that stuff for the public education. But also, it's a private setting. It's here just for our kids, low teacher to student ratios, licensed teachers in the classroom. And so the way we set up our program is actually, we do a lot of work on an online system where the students can develop what classes that they need to be able. So if a student is coming in and they're way behind in their classes, we can plug them into the exact classes that they need to get them back moving on track. Or if a student is in a good position where they just need to finish out a few courses to be able to graduate, we can do that too. And so we really have a good system to be able to meet the educational needs wherever they're at.
Wow. You know, as you were saying that, the thought that came to my mind, I mean, how did you pull that off in the city, you know, or state or whatever? How did you pull off the concept of getting a public school on your campus and yet at the same time be able to run it privately, so that you could keep the, you know, the small, you know, class size and things like that? I mean, this sounds like a model that we need to get out to some of the other bureaucracies.
Yeah, it's been an amazing thing for us, and it goes back to our history. Compass Roads is part of an organization that's been around for 160 years serving students and families in Indiana. And so we have a long-standing history with our local area schools and government agencies, all that kind of thing. And so our public school and us have a contract and services that go back and forth. And so it's just an agreement with our local public school system that has just tremendous.
Okay. It broke up. Okay. Yeah. Mike, the last part, it broke up just a little bit, if you could repeat that.
Sure. I was saying that with our longstanding history, the way that we're able to pull it off is just through agreements with our local public school and government agencies and education system. But just because of that longstanding history, we've been able to work out a contract and agreement that really mutually benefits both sides tremendously, and it's really been great for us.
Well, I would love to get a copy of that contract and to see if it's the type of thing that we could get a lot of our other public schools to be able to see a structure like this, because, I mean, it's, you know, I'd want to spend the whole show talking about the pitfalls of our public school system, but this sounds like a perfect marriage of private and public that really gets down to really educating the kids. I think that's great. I really commend you for that. And I think probably for Dr. Townsend, I know that, again, one of the other issues, once the parents get to that point in which they feel that their child, needs to go to a program, you know, they're very concerned about the counseling aspect of it. So if you could break down, what does the counseling program within the residential treatment center entail?
Well, the best way to think about it from a parent perspective, Alan, is think about someone whose entire, job with training and everything is to, number one, befriend your kids so that they can trust them, because adolescents have a very hard time trusting and opening up. So they get through that, and they're trained. They've got, 10,000 hours of training to befriend your kid, who, by the way, is probably not opening up to you, because kids push away from mom and dad naturally. And then secondly, once the trust is established, to help the kid know that, there are answers for what you're dealing with, and there are, there are skills you can learn, and there are emotions you can face. Because what a good counselor does with an adolescent, it's a tricky business. That's why I really commend Mike on not only his own expertise, but the people he's training, is you've got to be able to take somebody who's coming in with the idea of, you're not going to get to know me, and I can't wait till I get out of here, I'm going to wait you out, and basically melt down the defenses so that they get inside and they find out, I'm really acting tough, but I'm really scared, or I'm really defiant, but really I need a guiding hand to say, here's how you make good decisions in school with the friends. So they get inside, they find out what the causes are, they give them the skills and the tools, and they help them be emotionally balanced, because the whole idea is, when they get back home, the goal is for that team to just re-enter life really seamlessly, make good friends, make good choices, get ready for the career, get ready for college or whatever. So it kind of catches them up.
Right. And then, Mike, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'll just kind of take through. Sometimes families want to know, what are they getting in terms of individual, family, group, and that kind of thing. And so while the students are here, they have an individual therapist that meets with them at least weekly. And then family therapy takes place throughout the program, and it depends on whether the family is from, a great distance and can travel. But we use things like video conferencing and phone calls to keep families engaged in therapy throughout. And then we also do family weekends every couple of months to bring the families in and do a whole intensive weekend of training with the families, plus family therapy, plus activities and that kind of thing. But like I said, family therapy can go on throughout the program, just using different technologies. We have a process group then that meets, and this is where the students do begin to build that trust with each other and are able to find acceptance in new ways and new thinking in new ways, and really experience and internalize the different qualities and things that we're growing in terms of the structure that we are working on. And so that process group is really a powerful, just experience-based and affect-based learning tool that we use. We also have an equine component. Every week our students go out to an equine therapy barn here nearby, and we do equine-assisted growth and learning, and really focus on things like emotion regulation particularly, as well as boundaries and responsibility and attachment and relationship building, things like that. We also have a psychiatrist here on campus, so the students, like Dr. Townsend mentioned, if they need meds, they definitely see a psychiatrist, and we manage their meds during the time that they're here. We offer an on-site parent group. Like I mentioned, for especially families that travel a great distance, we do a special intensive weekend every few months, but we also do a parent group every month for parents who live more locally and are able to come by and meet with other families who are in the same experience or same situation. So those are some of a breakdown of some of the therapeutic services.
Yeah, and I think that's hugely important, the whole parent, that portion of it, that connection, I think is really important. And a story that I have told in the past that sort of ties that together is having dealt with a family, and I had a girl that had run away three times. And so we had located her and transported her three times. And after the third time, the father came to me and said, you know what, Alan, I don't know, maybe you can tell me, but, what is wrong with these programs? Why are they not able to, to make this work? And I said, well, I'll say his first name was Ralph, you know. Well, Ralph, let me ask you this. What is the common denominator? And he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he said, well, I understand that, you know, I didn't, you know, I didn't participate in those, you know, when they said I need to be part of the parent program, I didn't participate, but I have to work, and so on and so forth. And the more that he made excuses and things like that, and all of a sudden he stopped and he went, oh, I'm the common denominator. She keeps coming back to my home, and we as the parents are not doing our part. Is that what you're saying? And I said, no, sir, that's not what I'm saying. That's apparently what you're saying. So my point is that I just think that is so huge, you know, where the family is kept involved, and that when that, you know, when that young person goes back to the goes back to the home, that the home is now, you know, a little bit more set up similar to the program that they're coming from. And is that sort of your goal in this situation?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, just like you're saying, the child can do a lot of work in the treatment program, and they're, you know, they're probably going to make lots and lots of great changes. But if they go back to the same situation and the same relationship dynamics, you know, we all just do get stuck sometimes in our relationship dynamics. Even great parents just have different habits that they fall into or different issues that come up. And so if the parents aren't part of the growing process and growing and learning with the student, often it does just go back to similar problems that they started with, even as the child has made lots of changes. It's pretty easy to fall back into ruts. And so we have found that teaming up with the parents and involving them in part of the process, and those parents who really do become part of the team and get involved, really makes lasting change. And so, you know, a lot of things we hear from the students when they're here sometimes is, well, what about my parents? Are they doing work too? Are they doing something too? And so that, it just is a powerful part of the process to bring the parents in and change those dynamics.
And, you know, Alan, to Mike's point, there are a lot of parents that are really kind of concerned about that. Well, like, is it going to be parent bashing time? Are they going to make me the bad guy? Are they going to say it's all my fault? And Compass Rose is really got great structures to help the parents be part of a team. So it's like now the family is all together working on, everybody takes responsibility and everybody's open up. And so nobody, there's like no bad guy there. There's just a family that wants to get healthy and love each other.
Right.
And I think that's great. Now to back up a little bit, you mentioned a little bit about the equine assisted growth and learning. And if one of you could share a little bit with the audience about why that is important. In other words, it's, you know, I know a little bit about it, and if Dr. Melody was here, she knows quite a bit about it. She's very, very, you know, thinks very highly of that particular type of therapy. But share a little bit about why this is something that works, and especially why it works with girls.
Yeah, John, do you want to take that one?
Well, yeah. Basically, there's a lot of research now about horses and the uniqueness of horses that none of us really knew. I mean, you remember the Horse Whisperer show and all that. But they're finding out, and there's just more and more research out here, that horses are very, very emotionally intuitive and can actually experience and feel the emotions of other people. And so when you've got a girl who is afraid and is insecure and has had friend problems or attitude problems or whatever, she gets in a relationship through the professional, the trainer, the counselor, and finds out about herself through the horse. Let me give an example. Now, they took me through this training, so I've been through it. I'm not a horse expert at all, but I just, you know, I was curious about this. You go into the ring and you're introduced to the horse, I guess. Sam, hi Sam, and then you try to control the horse, just kind of like with your attitude, like, I'm going to make you come to me, and the horse will just shy away. And I've done this, and it was kind of, it was sort of freaky. Like, the horse could feel my feelings, but when I felt warm feelings toward the horse came toward me. Now, I don't understand it because I don't research it. But what they're saying is that especially adolescent girls are sometimes afraid of their emotions or afraid of their power or afraid to trust. And you can learn how to trust through a horse. You can learn how to make decisions through a horse. You can learn how to bring people to you through a horse. that the horse can help feel those feelings, digest those feelings, and respond in appropriate ways. And it's been a very, very strong, what they call auxiliary function, to make the program more powerful.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I know that one of the aspects of it is the fact that horses are a prey animal. And so when they're working with that young person as a prey animal, they're very, very instinctive as to if you are a predator or if you are prey, and they let you know it. So if you go in with the wrong attitude, and if you go in there as kind of a predator, the horse isn't going to have anything to do with you. I think that's great.
Right. Right.
You know what? We're going to take a break, but we will be right back. When we come back, we have a couple of email questions that have come in that I will I'll be asking. One has to do with a parent whose daughter, they believe, has a poor body image, and another one has to do with sexual orientation. So again, we are here at Answers for the Family. We are talking to Compass Rose Academy, and we will be right back.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
With Mike Haar and Dr. John Townsend, and we just got in some questions. So one of which, an email has come in that reads, our 14-year-old daughter is struggling with poor body image issues and seems to be becoming reclusive and spending less time with her friends. What can we do as parents to help her be the best that she can be?
I think I'll start out. This is Mike, and then I know Dr. Okay. Townsend can add some to that. But one of the things I just find a common thread among all the girls I think that we've worked with, just the pressure that there is to look good, to be funny, to be smart, to be sexy, all these things that there's just so much pressure on girls today. And, you know, they can internalize that as I'm never going to be good enough. There's something with me that is just wrong. I'm not pretty enough. Everybody is prettier than I am. And so I think, you know, the main thing that parents can do is to help separate out things like performance and appearance from love, and say you are loved no matter what. We absolutely love and adore you, and you are, you know, great just the way you are. And you know, a lot of Dr. Townsend's work and that we've adopted here is to really say it's not about being good or bad. It's not about that I have to look a certain way or be perfect in my appearance, but that it's about having good relationships and being loved and accepting that love. And so a lot of times girls have a hard time accepting that love if they feel that they don't measure up in terms of their beauty or their body image. And so, it, you know, for parents to just reinforce you are loved the way you are and to really show that, that's I think, the main thing that parents can do. Anything you'd add, Dr. Townsend?
Yeah, I really agree with Mike, what he's saying, Alan, but I would also add that when a young girl has body image issues, the research just says that's so, like, one of the top things in any teen girl's life. It's not an issue as much with boys. They have other ones. But the fact that whether I'm pretty or not or my body looks good or not is, like, huge for them. So the first thing that a parent needs to do is to not only say you're loved, but also to get them past the body so they understand that I have a body. In other words, to get the focus on you're a kind person and you work hard and people trust you and I really trust you, and all of a sudden you begin to go into what's really important, which is her character, and you praise the character. And then what happens then you can talk to her about the fact that, you know, they feel too skinny or too fat or whatever. Then they can talk about it and feel secure because they're a good person who has a body. The second thing that really helps, though, is peers. You know, one of the things that you find out about the adolescent passage is when you're 9 or 10, you know, you're kind of like, you got buddies. But when you're in your adolescent years, your peers are extremely important for how you look at yourself. So are you letting your kid hang around judgmental boys and, you know, the mean girls like the old Lindsay Lohan movies? Or are you putting around kids who are like good kids, not perfect kids, but kids who are on the right track and are responsible kids and caring kids? Because then you've got an advocate to not only your parenting, because you've got a peer support group to help you too.
And, you know, I think you bring up a great point when you bring up about who they're going to be around. And again, in looking deeper into Campus Rose, isn't that kind of what the cottage process group focuses on?
Absolutely. And the idea that, you know, some of the girls, as they're coming in and sharing those things, those feelings about their body, and finding that, wow, I'm not the only one that feels this way, and that I can be accepted in this peer group, even though I'm a little overweight or, you know, whatever it is that they're struggling with, to find that they can be accepted among their peers, even with their flaws, can be so powerful. And we find that to be just freeing for a lot of the girls in those situations.
Yeah, I think share a little bit more about how the cottage process works.
So like I said, there's, you know, a few times a week when the girls get together to specifically talk about the things that they're working on, the things that they're struggling with, their goals. And so, you know, for a girl to come in with struggling with trust issues, and that it's really hard for me to share these things that I'm ashamed of, and over time you see them begin to say, okay, this is a safe place. You know, maybe mm-hmm. I was made fun of at school back home. Maybe I'm not accepted among peers back home if I were to really share this. But here it seems to be a safe place because of the way it's structured and the way the whole therapy component works. And so they begin to throw out little things here and there and test the waters and say, okay, if I say this, will they really still care about me and still like me? And so you begin to see them gradually opening up and sharing more, and finding that even when I share these bad things about myself, I'm still accepted. And they learn that that's not just about Compass Rose, and that's just not about this group, but it's about the fact that I'm okay and that I can go back home and find people who will accept me too.
Exactly. Yeah, it's what you're saying, that these are skills that they take from there.
Right.
They learn the skills while they're there. And one of the things, one of the blessings that I've had over the years is to be able to, at various programs, to be able to sit in on some of the groups. And the part of the beauty of this is that when you see one girl open up about a particular subject, and she may be somebody who's been there for a little while, and all of a sudden you see some of the newer girls go, wow, it's okay. It's okay for me to talk about that. She's talking about that.
Yeah.
And wow, I thought she was so cool and maybe didn't have these same problems. And in fact, I can recall in one time sitting in, and there were, by the time that group was over, 15 different girls had all acknowledged the same issue. You know, they all went, well, yeah, that's me too. Can I talk about mine? And before you know it, you had 15 girls out of this group that all felt very, very comfortable to talk about a particular issue. And I just thought that was huge.
Yes, very freeing.
It's a real cool part of the program, I think, Alan, because there's a process in psychology called normalization.
Mm-hmm.
Because adolescents don't think they're normal, right? They think, I'm freaky, what's wrong with me? And you know, that's just kind of the whole, I remember my adolescence. I felt like something was really wrong with me. And when you get in the cottage system, the way that Mike's got it constructed, is, yeah, you do have that Me Too experience, and then what happens is you're building culture, because now the culture starts saying, sure, we've all got issues, we're still nice people, and here's what I've learned, and here's a struggle I'm having, you can help me with my obstacle. And all of a sudden, not only the professionals that Mike works with are helping, but their kids are helping the kids to get new skills and new tools. So that just adds so much to it.
Well, John, I was going to tell you, I felt the same way. You know, as a teenager, and I think at some point we must go full circle, because now my teenagers think that there still is something wrong with me. So,
Well, Alan, you know when they say that, then your job is to say, there is something wrong with me, and do your homework.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't need to argue that point.
I don't need to argue.
So, you know, again, and as I told everybody when we first came on, and if you haven't had the chance, I really recommend that if you're listening now, that you go to the website and take a look at some of the things that we're talking about, again, because it is really well done. There's some great pictures. And one of the things that I think is very important, it has to do with activities. More and more, we are finding out just how important it is that we have the physical activities to continue to stimulate our brain. So I guess, Mike, if you could share a little bit about what are some of the physical activities that these parents can expect that their children are going to go through?
Yeah, absolutely. We, like I mentioned before, just as part of our history here, we're really blessed not only with our arrangement with the school in the area, but also just in terms of our surroundings, our campus that we're on. We have about 800 acres, and we have anything from softball fields to two indoor gymnasiums to an indoor Olympic-sized swimming pool, and just lots of grounds, a low ropes course, that kind of thing. So we have the students do recreation all the time, whether it's swimming or playing volleyball, playing basketball, or just some outdoor activity that the staff and students choose for the time. And being in a rural area, we do a lot of walking, just a lot of things like that. So they stay active, like you said. We just agree that it does a lot for the brain. It does a lot for your physical health. And so we just keep them as active as we can and do all sorts of things.
Well, and another question I know comes up a lot when I'm dealing with parents is when they make that decision between going to a girls-only or a co-ed program. So if you could just share a little bit about what do you see as some of the greatest values for girls, 14 to 17, to attend a girls-only program versus a co-ed program?
Well, one of the great benefits is just that it does take away some distraction, and the idea of normalization, like Dr. Towns was talking about, it is normal for teen girls to go through just the sexual development and interest in boys and all that kind of thing. But sometimes in the normal environment where kids grow up, it can be such a distraction, and they engage in a lot of high-risk behaviors and things like that. And so when it gets to the situation where a child has to be put in a place like this, you're in a position where it's higher structure here, there's safety here, it's time to work on your specific issues, get healthy, work on the boundaries, and then reintroduce the normal life environment of dating and boys and all that stuff after you've had some opportunity to develop the internal structure that it takes to really set healthy boundaries and limits in relationship. So it can be very beneficial to take away some of that distraction in order to really focus and do some of the in-depth work on an individual.
And Dr. Townsend, do you have something to add to that one?
I couldn't agree with Mike more, Alan. Think about, like, if you were, like, want to be an Olympic diver, and you're practicing, but all of a sudden you've got a pulled hamstring, and all of a sudden your attention's got to go to that. Well, the boys are a pulled hamstring. the girls are trying to get healthy and make great friends and do well at school and get along with mom and dad and find their passion in life and their mission and all those good things. And they got these boys over here, and all these hormones are kicking in, and the boys' hormones are kicking in, and it totally takes so much energy out of the really hard work you've got to do to be a healthy person. So the way Mike's got it constructed is, sure, they're boys, they're great, they're interesting and all that, but let's be a culture within ourselves and learn to be strong and have fun with each other, and you'll even have better boys later. And I think they've done a great job of focusing where the energy needs to go. As a parent, I just wouldn't want my kids to go to a place where there are a lot of mixed up gender things, because then I know how confusing it was for my kids as adolescents. Mm-hmm. Focus on you, your buddies, your peers, your health, and the rest will come.
Right. And what I hear you saying is that once you build their self-esteem, once you build their confidence, at that point, when they then go out and have to deal with all of those hormonal issues, they're going to be much more powerful as a person themselves.
Mike used a really good word. He used a word called boundaries, and I wrote a book called Boundaries about and Boundaries of the Teens, where as you build up your self-image and esteem and all those sorts of things, then you can say, you know, that was disrespectful behavior, and I'm not going to put up with that, or no, you'll have to talk to me a different way, or no, I don't want to do that, or no, I'm not going to go where you want me to go. And when you build up the kid's self-esteem, then all of a sudden, she feels like she's got choices, and she's got power, and she can be a peer and an equal of the boys, as opposed to, gosh, she's stronger and smarter. So it's a very good tool to have.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. We've got another question that has come in. This one reads, my daughter, who just turned 16, has expressed to her older sister that she is confused as to if she wants to be with boys or girls. As her father, I am only concerned with her happiness. I want to help, but I was told in confidence by my other daughter, how can I bring up the subject without causing her to shut down to her sister and not violate the confidence the information was given to me in? Gentlemen?
Well, this is the dad calling. Is that what it was, Alan?
Yes. Yeah. Seems
yeah,
to be.
He's in a bind because he hears something he's concerned about, and yet she's in confidence. And so the first tack is to go to her, to the daughter that divulged, and say, I really need for you and me and her to just bring this up. In other words, to kind of like make it so that we're all concerned about a big issue and we're together. Most of the time, she really wants to have the conversation, and she knows that having a dad behind her, so that if the other daughter gets reactive, he can say, wait a minute, I mean, nobody's mad at anybody, and he can kind of like be the neutralizing agent there.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's coming up, sooner or later, a parent needs to come in and say, this is a conversation. You know, we and the Smith family, we have these talks, because who else is going to sit down and talk about values and emotions and relationships but a parent? So sooner or later, you got to have the talk with your kids, because you are the advocate for the rest of their life.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. Now, you mentioned a little bit, you know, when the term boundaries came up, and we've got about five more minutes. Share with us a little bit, not only about the books, but we're not going to have too much time to go into it, but at least where we can find the books. And your most recent one is Beyond Boundaries, Learning to Trust Again in Relationships. I mean, here we are talking about a question from a parent who wants to make sure that he maintains trust, but at the same time, he has to touch on an important subject. So tell us a little bit about the book, and then where can people find these?
You can get my books on Kindle or Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Borders. Pretty much they're all out there. And there are actually probably six or seven books on boundaries that my writing partner, Henry Cloud, and I wrote. Boundaries to teens, boundaries with kids, boundaries in marriage, boundaries in dating. We'll probably end up doing boundaries with your dog one day. But the idea is that your boundary is your property line. It's where you begin and someone else ends. So you want to make choices. You've got to be able to say, no, I don't have time for this, or no, that's not a good idea. And in our culture, a lot of times we're trained to say yes to everything, to be positive, which we're supposed to be, and caring, and this sort of thing. But if you're positive and caring to the extent that you lose yourself, that you go into what's called codependent behavior. And Alan, I know that, I mean, you understand all that from a family level and a kid level, and then you end up rescuing people and enabling people, and addicts get worse and this sort of thing. So when you learn about boundaries, that is not only okay to say no to things that aren't good for you or that you can't do, but it's important to say no, then all of a sudden, now you've got choices. Now you have a voice. And so one of the things that Mike's done with his staff at Compass Rose is not only does the program help them to open up and be vulnerable and be, you know, honest about how they feel on a need and hurt level, but also how to have a relationship with someone and say, no, that hurt my feelings. I don't talk like that, or that's disrespectful, or no, I want to make a choice otherwise. And the girls learn how to have solid boundaries within the context of the cottage system, and they teach them how to have them with their peers when they get out too, because then they have the skill of owning their life and making choices.
Makes perfect sense. And in regards to some of the – now, you said, because I was taking notes as you were doing that. So at this point, there's boundaries for teens. There is boundaries in relationships. I mean, it sounds like from a parent standpoint that you can go, if you think the issues are in your relationship or whatever, there's a book that's geared towards that. If it's something maybe more so towards your teens, you now have a separate book for that as well. Is that right?
Absolutely, because the teen rite of passage is so unique, and Mike uses a lot of the concepts in the Boundaries of the Teens material, because the boundaries you need to have with a teen, a 14-year-old, are very different than the boundaries you need with a 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to take into account the fact that their neurological development in their brain is different, and also the fact that they've got the hormones. Also the fact that they're going through things like, what do I do with sexuality? What do I do with my anger? What do I do with my questioning authority? And so the boundaries of the teens is to help a parent know, what should a curfew be? What do I do when there's lying? What do I do when there's disrespect? What if they just kind of like flake out in school and stop going to class? And so the way Compass Rose is constructed, it handles all the questions a parent has, as well as things they haven't thought of because of that very unique developmental passage from about 12 to 17. I'm still here.
And so am I. Okay. Anyway, we sort of missed the last part of that. But I'm looking up. We have about 2 minutes. And for the people that have listened to the show, they know one of my favorite parts is success stories. Could one of you share one of your favorite success stories as we take us to the end of the show?
Well, Mike, yeah, you've probably got the biggest case history.
Yeah, and there's a couple, but I think, you know, as you've been talking about boundaries, that is a common thread. And there's a girl who joined our program in the fall of last year, and her parents just described her relationships with others as she would do anything to help other people, that just dragged her down. She couldn't say no. She would just be enmeshed with all these relationships, and yet she didn't really see it. And, you know, she was antagonistic toward her parents because obviously her parents disapproved of her relationships. And anyway, she joined our program, and you could just see that word boundaries resonate with her, and just that process of developing an identity and saying, this is who I am, this is who I'm not, this is what I will tolerate, this is what I won't tolerate. And her relationship with her parents just blossomed, and her relationships with her friends, she was able to sit down face to face with friends who had mistreated her before and say, this is what I will and won't tolerate going forward. I'm either, you know, cutting this off, or I will be in relationship with you under these circumstances. And you could just see her personality and who she was begin to shine as she realized that she could just set those boundaries and have her own identity. And she has since graduated high school. She's graduated our program, gone back home, and is doing wonderfully.
See, now that sounds, and what I hear is that you were able to at Compass Rose, you were able to empower her. Mm-hmm. You know, that it sounds like she came away empowered mm-hmm. to know that she can make these decisions and be powerful in doing it. I think that's so beautiful. Gentlemen, both of you, thank you so much for coming on. Again, in regards to the books, if you go out there, it's just call it the Boundary Series. Go for the Boundary Series. Find one that fits you. And again, if you want to get more information in regards to Compass Rose Academy, you go to compassroseacademy.org, and you will get all the information there. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great week. And for everybody out there, please be with us again next week as we will continue to bring you ways to educate and inspire. Take care. Bye now.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.